You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to worship. Let me first announce for our radio listeners that we're following Divine Service Setting 1 this month, beginning on page 151. And the hymns are posted on the board and also in the bulletin. Our opening hymn 575, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. The hymn of the day 430, My Song is Love Unknown. Distribution hymns 425, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. 644, The Church's One Foundation. 483, With High Delight, Let Us Unite. Our closing hymn, 918, Guide Me, Thou Great Redeemer. Some other announcements. Well, we have our games for all this afternoon. It's been fun. It's been competitive. But, you know, just come if you like board games, card games. It's fun. 2 to 4, bring a game, bring a snack. Bring a friend, right? Or an enemy. Yeah. No, not looking at anyone in particular. Okay, I'm sorry. And let's see. Ellie is going to be celebrating First Communion today, so we're going to have a little rite after the sermon. She'll come up and confess her faith and join us at the altar. And then we will include a gentleman named Dwayne, who is dying of cancer. We will include Dwayne in the prayers in addition to those who are already listed in your bulletin. So with that, let's begin with our opening hymn.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins,
God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
We allow some time of silence to reflect on God's word and for self-examination. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake, forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the introit. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have
mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this fifth Sunday in Lent is from Isaiah chapter 43. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do not perceive it. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the gradual. The epistle is from the Philippians chapter 3. If anyone else thinks he has a reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the gospel reading, and together we sing the Lent verse.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. When the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do?" "I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. But they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere that they might catch him in something he said so as to deliver him up to the authority and the jurisdiction of the governor. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Behold, I'm doing a new thing, the Lord says through his prophet Isaiah, and the people who are in exile in Babylon, well, they needed to hear this. They are in this foreign nation. This is a powerful nation, and far from the homeland, far from the promised land. There's this vast wilderness that separated them from a human point of view. It's like, we're never going home. So, would the Lord do anything? Could he do anything? I mean, why would he? They had been disobedient, rebellious. They kind of got complacent, doing their own thing, following their own way, not obeying the Lord, their God, not obeying his word. So the Lord gave his people hope through the word of his prophet Isaiah. If we back up a little bit from what's printed in your insert to verse 14, it says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake, I send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans, in the ships of which they rejoice. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. The Lord had not forgotten his people or abandoned his chosen people, Israel. They're special to him. This is why he does what he does. And he reminds them of what he did when he brought them out of slavery in Egypt. You hear this allusion to it in the phrases that Isaiah is giving about. You remember that he brought them all to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his mighty army are bearing down on them with the horses and chariots. You know, these are the great war vehicles of the time. And they thought the Lord had given up, but he hadn't, because miraculously he makes this way through the sea, right? This dry way through this vast, mighty water. And he drowns mighty Pharaoh and his army and all those chariots and horses that had threatened the people. And so now he's telling them, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do not perceive it. Well, he doesn't mean this absolutely, literally, like completely forget what he's done. He has told them to remember this. They purposefully remember what he did in the Exodus. They do this certainly in their Passover, the high feast of the Passover every year. They purposely recall and recount what the Lord had done in this mighty Exodus. They are to instruct the younger, the children and the grandchildren, what God has done for them, because he is the God of the Exodus. He is their God. He is the one that they follow. But he doesn't want them stuck in the past. He doesn't want them thinking, well, that was then. He's not doing anything now. He can't do it. He won't do anything now. You know, for some, it might have been kind of nostalgic, the glory days, the good old days. But what about now? You know, would he do anything? Could he do anything? And the Lord said, yes, he is already doing something new. He is already actively doing something new, a new thing. He's willing and he's able and he desires to create a future out of their past, the wreckage of their past. This is a new Exodus he's talking about. It's greater than the first one. So he says, remember not, because what he's doing is so much greater. It's hardly even worth mentioning what he's done before. And the Lord gives them a metaphor to help them. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. It's a beautiful image, you know, that through this dry wilderness, he's going to make a way with water flowing, right? And so you can envision this and you can say, wow, that's amazing. It's kind of the opposite of what he did before, right? Now he's going to make this amazing way through the wilderness. Hard to imagine. But he is, the God of creation. He is their creator. And so instead of the way through the sea and the mighty waters, he's making a way through the wilderness. Now, before they had not followed his way. So he knows that he must lead them. So he will lead them on this way that he is making. And when Isaiah uses the words way and ways or path, these are metaphors for the life of faith. And the life of faith is the life of our Christ. And so they are to follow this way. And Isaiah says, and many people shall come. This was earlier in his writings. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. Of course, we still do that today. Now, in this particular section of Isaiah that we had our reading from, wilderness and desert, these are known to be without water. They are barren, they're trackless, there is no way through the wilderness. So it is the Lord who will make a way, and he's going to build a highway, not just a way. And he's already worked behind the scenes. He's already raising up Cyrus, who will lead an army to take over and defeat the Babylonians so that they're actually, God's people are brought out of there. So it was a time to follow the Lord in the way that he was making, not to stay back, not to go your own way, but to follow the Lord in his making, because as he had delivered his people before, he will deliver them again, and sure enough, he does deliver his people out of Babylon, if we fast forward. Now, this is all pointing forward to more that the Lord would do. Not that that wasn't a great thing, but he's pointing forward to what he would do to save his people out of sin and death. He's pointing forward to his Christ. You recall, as Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way out of death and sin into justification, into life. And his way is the way of the cross. As he has spoke of in the gospel, he would be the one whom the Son, whom the owner of the vineyard sent because they kept killing and wounding the prophets. God is sending his Son, and he would be cast out and killed. He would be crucified outside of the vineyard, outside of the gate. He is the one, the stone that the builders rejected, who has become the cornerstone. His church is built on Christ and is the new thing that is happening now. He is building his church even now. And he does this through his word and his sacraments. His word is living and active, and his sacraments nourishing us. Peter echoes Isaiah in his first epistle. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. These are words for you and for me, words that we need to hear, because we're surrounded by many who are hostile to the Lord. We're traveling through the wilderness of life. We are too often tempted to go our own way and not to follow the way of the Lord. We too get stuck in the past. We think about, well, it was nice then, but you know, God's not going to do anything again. Why would he? We've been disobedient, unfaithful. We need a way, and we need the Lord to lead us on the way. And so he tells you that he is the way. And he's brought you into the way through the waters of holy baptism. You are the chosen nation, a royal priesthood. You are made to declare praise. So when you wonder if the Lord can do anything new, yes, he can and is doing it. Even though so much can seem the same at time and so much can seem like nothing new is happening, that's only on the surface. It's only from our human perspective. But Jesus is the way, not our way. We can do as Paul did. We heard about it in his epistle to the Philippians. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Everything else we've accomplished, it's rubbish, right? Compared to what we have in Christ. We can forget the sins that we've committed as we confess them already to the Lord, and you heard his words of forgiveness, they're removed. So we stay on his way. We follow our Christ. In Christ, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. And whether you see it or not, he's doing his mighty things by the power of the Holy Spirit, working through his word. He's making his way in the wilderness. It's the only way through the wilderness. And he nourishes us through his word and his very body and blood. So stop following your own way. It is only enslavement to sin. It only leads to death. Follow Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And he has chosen you. He has not and he will not forget about you. Those words that he spoke to his chosen people, Israel, apply to you also because you have been adopted into his people. He says he is your redeemer. He is your king, and he is making a way for the sake of his church. As he says, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. These images we're talking about this transformation that happens in you through his word, but also this transformation yet to come. He is alluding to that new creation, that new heaven and earth that's yet to come. And it's happening now. It's happening in the presence of Christ, where we gather in his name, hear his word, receive his gifts. And so we do declare his praise. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Why don't you sit, everybody except for Ellie. Do you want a printout? One moment. I got one. We didn't rehearse this, so. I couldn't could have had you memorize this. Oh, good, good for you. All right. All right. Beloved in the Lord, in holy baptism, Ellie was born again as God's child and received into his church. As a further gift of his love for us, our Lord Jesus Christ has given his church the sacrament of the altar and invites his children to receive this sacrament in faith for the forgiveness of sins. The Apostle Paul reminds us, let a person examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Ellie has received instruction and has been examined by the pastor regarding her sin and her understanding of the sacrament of the altar. Ellie, you are about to be admitted to the Lord's table. Holy Scripture describes the life of the church and every baptized Christian with these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. You are invited by our Lord to come regularly to hear his word and receive his sacrament. You will continue to be instructed and nurtured in the Christian faith and life. You are invited to confess your sins and receive the comfort of holy absolution. All this will help you live as a child of God. You have been made through holy baptism. In testimony of this faith and confession, I now ask you, do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? I know she's quiet. If she says the wrong answer, I'll call her out. But otherwise, she... Do you believe that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is your Lord? Do you believe that you are a sinner? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and shed his blood for you on the cross for the forgiveness of all your sins? Do you believe that in the Lord's Supper he gives you his true body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins and to strengthen your faith in him and your love toward others? Do you intend to continue to hear and receive the instruction of your Lord, confess your sins, and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully throughout your life? I therefore invite you to the Lord's Supper to receive Christ's precious body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Parents and members of the congregation, I should say, and grandparents and, you know, sister. Members of the congregation, the whole church, shares with you the responsibility and concern for the ongoing instruction and spiritual care of Ellie. I now ask you, will you intercede for Ellie in prayer, and as much as you are able to give her your counsel and aid, that in communion with the church, she may grow up to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ, then answer, we will with the help of God. If you would, please stand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, whose Son Jesus Christ loved the young and called them to himself, we ask you to bless Ellie. Strengthen her in the faith through the sacrament of Christ's body and blood so that she may grow spiritually and bring forth the fruits of faith in a life of love toward others to the praise and honor of your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We rejoice with thankful hearts in your confession of faith. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his holy supper, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Ellie, peace be with you. Amen. You can go back. And let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, your Son spoke the truth before his enemies, even as they sought to trap him in his words and deliver him up to death. Rescue your people from fear and grant them courage to confess the truth, assuring them of deliverance in time of trouble. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you gave your Son to be rejected by sinners, that we may be welcomed into your kingdom. Preserve your church in this life won by Christ, crucified and risen. Give faithfulness to the preaching of your word and the administration of your sacraments, and let your people receive these gifts with penitence and faith. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, salvation belongs to you. Your blessing be on your people. Endow parents with every good gift to teach their children your ways, that they may live in the confidence of your grace and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you shield us and lift our heads. Provide for us civil authorities who discourage evil and encourage good, but keep us ever mindful that our hope is in you. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, show your compassion to Duane, Shirley, Fred, Anita, Dan, Joanne, Lois, Louis, Mary, Harold, Richard, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Mark, Diane, Kara, Leah, Erno, Anna, Jeff, Ethel, Cookie, and all who suffer in our midst. Remind them continually of your benefits, forgive all their iniquities, heal all their diseases, and crown them with steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, St. Paul counted all things as rubbish in order that he might gain Christ. Give us repentant hearts, that we would abandon all confidence in our flesh and so receive your Son's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, help us to count all things as loss except Jesus and him crucified. Draw us to him through word and sacrament, that rejoicing in the righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus, we may forget what lies behind us and press on toward the goal. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, in baptism, you have shared Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection with us, that we might be raised from the dead. Preserve us from taking his sacrifice for granted. Encourage us to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead, until we attain the resurrection from the dead through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated for the offering.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us through your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this blood, we confess. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri City.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.